This is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
to CKLN's Rude Awakening for Wednesday, August 18th, 2010. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, a.k.a. Vijay Sharma. Whatever you prefer out there as individual rebels yourselves, trying to, well, rebel against our communist Canada social indoctrination, where the cover of the Toronto Star says price shift. Coming in a hydro price shift coming, and you remember a couple years ago when for the Liberals was running, Green Party was talking about a tax shift for the green stuff, and so they've introduced the concept of a shift when they mean increase, and I asked Green Party leader Frank DeJong at a Green Party event, and this is filmed by my colleague Steve Davies and Jacob Krutashewil. You can still see this online if you just type in Green Party and V-I-J-A-Y-S-A-R-M-A or Green Party taxes or something. I asked Frank DeJong, I said, hey, what do you got? This basically, in a nutshell, to set it up for you. It's provincial elections. He's running for premier, and he's not invited to one of these debates. Provincial? Yeah, something like that. And he's not invited to one of these debates. And so they have their own Green Party meeting here in downtown Toronto, sort of near the Eaton Centre-ish. And I went with a couple of buddies, and I asked them. I said, you know, congratulations, because there's a whole crowd of Green Party people there, and I know how We Are Change does things, and I like some of what they do, and I don't like some of what they do, because I don't believe in going to a Clinton event and just, you know, cussing them out and having like 500 Clinton fans just boo you. So what I did at the Green Party event was I went, hey, congratulations on your success. You guys are coming up. You know, you're doing, you know, you're getting a lot more coverage. And I think it's a shame you weren't in the main debates and that you have to hold your own event. And so the crowd was cool. They were sort of on my side, you know, in the sense of being, oh, okay. And then I said, you know, but I've heard about, you know, the tax shift and the new carbon taxes and so on. I think it was back in 07. And I'm wondering, what are you guys going to do with the money? Like, what are the plans with the money? Are you going to build a giant, like, $800 billion global dust bus, your dust bus Earth, and that's how you're going to clean up the environment? Or, like, what's the plan for all that tax money? And his handler actually stepped in. You saw on video. And for 45 seconds, he went off about some other stuff and said, yeah, it is too bad we weren't in the main debates. And I got to tell you something. You know what? They said we should be there. And smart people said we should be there. And blah, blah. And then he went into a bit of an explanation, you know, and then he gave it over back to Frank DeJong. and DeJong, you know, came over and said, you know, the World Bank and others have said that a carbon tax is the best way to go to save the environment. And the crowd roars. And that was it. And he said, it's not a tax increase, it's a tax shift. But that's what's coming. And I think we can all see that. We can all see that, you know, the media is basically telling us, look, prepare for this winter. Everything's going to go up. And if you think you're paying more now, I hope you got used to it. I hope you're okay with that. Because the plan for the carbon taxes with respect to the phony environmental movement that worries about the weather in 20 years and our carbon dioxide output, which literally means us because we exhale carbon dioxide, plants breathe it, give us back oxygen. Thank you very much, plants. We've been doing this fine for thousands of years, but all of a sudden carbon dioxide is a toxic poison. Even the stuff coming out of factories isn't bad when it's carbon dioxide. But keep in mind, that's the only thing the corporate media, the mainstream foundation-funded activism, you know, a lot of the churches, everybody's being co-opted into this. And at this point, and this was back in 07, we understood how dangerous it was, you know, when the UN launched this, thanks to people like Webster Tarpley, Alex Jones, others explaining it. But, you know, even back then, it was difficult because of how attached people were to this idea of the green movement, and to this day, Toronto, God, gee, we are just swamped in this stuff. We are greenwashed like you would not believe, and yet we're getting poisoned and we're getting cancer more, and we're going to go buy Lance Armstrong Live Strong gear, raise more than $80 million for cancer since 2004 or whatever. we aren't even close to curing it, and we're not even trying to prevent it. At least, you know, the same circle selling that philosophy. So there's a tons of toxins, GMO foods, and so on, fluoride that started off the environmental movement in Denori, New York, which now the Greenies have totally forgotten about. And so how do you break through to them, you know, year after year? Well, you got to point out that the carbon taxes are a tax on production, and they want to lower our living standards, and they want to do that to rob us of our stuff, rob us of our property, and murder us. And this is eugenics. And that's, you got, because we got to get around this, because it's being pushed to take over our entire culture. And Michael Kaufman on the Alex Jones Show again. I played the first part of this clip. It's a great interview, though. From August 4th. You know, he made a movie called Global Warming or Global Governance, explaining what this was and how this phantom threat and all this social pressure to get behind it, and all this money behind it, and all these jobs behind it, you know, are taking over every aspect of our society. So I'm going to let him and Alex Jones explain the history behind this. This goes back about 300 years, and then we'll get into more of the history that we can see today, kings and queens and all this royal iconography being you know, put out there in fashion and so on. They're coming back, folks. What are we going to do?
Jonah Lehrer has written this hit piece on me in the Wired magazine, claiming that this vaccine he was writing about doesn't, quote, calm the public. Well, I've got his quotes in the mainstream news article right here. Jab that could put a stop to stress without slowing us down, with a live virus that goes in and attacks the receptors. So we're going to do something tomorrow with him. Just be ready for it. We're writing a big article about it today to expose him. You know, this video has been one of our best sellers, and I'm excited because Global Warming, Emerging Science and Understanding really details, by Dr. Michael Kaufman, who's on with us, the fraud of it. Great video to give people. That's available. But why I'm so excited about rescuing a broken America, why America is simply divided, this is an olive branch to conservatives and liberals to show how they've been manipulated through divide and conquer. And Michael was telling me that liberals, mainline liberals that read this book, are really getting woken up by it and upset, and it's shifting their paradigm. Tell us about some of those testimonies and why the book's having such a big effect.
Well, one of the things that liberals do is they shut you down, anything that you might say, almost as soon as you say it. I have approached this book as being open-minded. I don't support Democrats any more than Republicans. You don't either, I know, but at the same point, at the same time, I'm not pointing the finger at any one group. I'm just basically saying, well, this is what's happening, and we need to do something about it. And one of the things that it does, if you can get past the first couple pages, a liberal can get past the first couple pages without throwing it down on the floor, he will be, or she will be, hooked. I almost guaranteed. I've heard from enough of them now to realize if they're a bit open-minded, and the most liberals are, it's that small, you know, 10 or 15%, that are closed-minded. They've got the solutions of the world already figured out, and they're going to ram them down your throat regardless of what you think. Most of the liberals are not the progressives, hardcore progressives, that are making up our government and so forth. And they will start to be able to see this. I mean, there's enough question in their mind now of what Obama's doing and so forth and the failed policies that he's doing, and I take advantage of those throughout. That really starts to drive home the point, and I have
Globalism is destroying our society.
It is, and now, for the first time, probably they can see it in this book. You know, again, if you're really well versed in a particular area, you're going to find this book is still fairly shallow. But as far as reaching people who do not understand it, it basically does that and puts it connects all the dots, and they can see it for the first time.
I want to read a quote from the book. Show me the age and country where the rights and liberties of the people were placed on the sole chance of their rulers being good men without a consistent loss of liberty. I say that the loss of the dearest privilege has always followed with absolute certainty every such mad attempt. Patrick Henry. I mean, we know what happens when we give our freedoms up. We know. And now these people are so arrogant, they're coming out saying they're going to publicly drug the water supply to make us submit and give us shots to make us happy. I mean, holy mackerel, this is serious.
It's very serious. And one of the things that I really leaned pretty heavily on was some writings of a psychiatrist, 30 years, 40 years of experience in doing studies and so forth with a liberal mind. In fact, that's what his book is called. And basically, he says that these people are psychologically ill. And as a consequence, they cannot make a connection to reality. They are so far out in what they believe, that their belief is truth, that anything that connects it to reality is purely happen chance.
And that's really, and that's how they can come out and say, we're setting up world government, but you people are kooks, no world government exists. Or, yes, we're storing your naked body images, but we're not.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. It's all kinds of disconnects. If you really look at what they're doing in Congress and what their ideas are, like, you know, really promoting Islam and so forth. Well, how can they promote Islam when the Islamic law and so forth is so abusive to women? There's a disconnect there, and yet they do it.
Well, the globalists want to destroy the dominant culture of Christianity, real Christianity, not the fake Christianoid, and so they'll use anything that's from the outside to create divisions.
Absolutely. You cannot basically take over or change a inherent cultural belief without first tearing it down, and that's what they're in the process of doing it. And they're deconstructing the American way and putting something else in its place. And it's based on the writings and so forth of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, a Frenchman in the 1800s, that led to the French Revolution and led to the beheading of many, many thousands of Frenchmen.
Book talks about that. Long segment coming up. When we come back, let's talk about that, because Dr. Blaylock brought up the French Revolution, and that's really where a lot of this got formed. We'll talk about what these people plan to do. It's mass killing, of course.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Okay, here's GCNLive.com, an Aaron Dykes article that just came out. It's also at Infowars.com, but it's up at GCNLive.com. Army plans DNA blasting vaccines for mass inoculations during times of emergencies. They fire a laser into your flesh that embeds the nanotech viruses. They've taken them and it's synthetic viruses. You cannot make this stuff up. He has links directly to the Army, and it will reprogram the troops' brains. I mean, you're literally, they hold you down, laser you. It's over. I mean, we're in the 21st century. It's Buck Rogers, and the control freaks are coming. And I just, it's gotten so crazy, it's hard for me to even believe. We had Dr. Russell Blaylock, top brain surgeon, on yesterday, and he said in his own words, he said it's worse than any nightmare science fiction. And he read document after document from the federal government where they admitted the fluoride gives us cancer and brain damage, where their own scientists say take it out. I mean, I love everybody. I love the children. I love our communities. And these eugenicists have admitted the global warming tax is to shut down our industrial society so we collapse and are under government control. And only Europe, the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand are under this. 160-plus other countries, China, India, and others, they have zero carbon taxes coming in. All of our jobs that we have left will leave. This is the stated program. It's the stated program of enslavement and bondage and poverty. And that's why this book is so important. Again, it's available at Infowars.com. For those in America that still read, get it. Give it to people you know. It's so well written. I love things that just boil everything down. It's a full spectrum shotgun blast of info. Well written, lots of quotes, lots of documents, lots of graphs. This is the kind of book I like, because it's similar to a film. And, of course, Global Warming, Emerging Science Understanding, also available at Infowars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. And Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, covers all of this. Going back to Dr. Michael Kaufman, Doc, continuing, you know, everybody I talk to who's really studied history understands that eugenics began 2,300 years ago with Plato, and he said, we, the highbreds, the elite, must kill everyone in Greece who's poor. and wars aren't killing them fast enough, and we need to train them not to fight back against us, so we'll give them sports as a way to be the new hero. We got to kill these people. You can read the quotes in Plato's Republic. And then if you study history, you see it come back and be picked up in the 1760s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And, of course, then they put Napoleon after that. It was a Rothschild takeover. They were going to have a 10-day-a-week work week. They were going to abolish the family. This is mainline history. They were talking about forced drugging people. They were saying they wanted to kill 80%. That number comes from the French Revolution. Kill 80% of the public. And so without me even prompting it, we talked about it yesterday. Here's Michael Kaufman telling you the same thing. Go over the French Revolution. It was the opposite of what our revolution was. And George Washington figured that out when he was president and spoke out against it. And the French then tried the Illuminati. He wrote letters about it. He wrote letters about them trying to overthrow the United States. And so ever since then, it is a group of sages or people that understand how humans operate who want to end the regular human order and replace it with their new world order. Doctor, go over it.
Absolutely. It is one of those heinous things that when you think about it, where you have people who are at the very top. Now, the vast majority of troops out there trying to implement this agenda don't really fully understand what they're doing. But the key people behind it, like occurred in the French Revolution, which was orchestrated by the Illuminati and the Jacobean Society and so forth, they basically used the Rousseau model. The Rousseau model basically means the state is in control over the individual or sovereign over the individual, and everything stems from that. Once they did that, anybody who disagreed with them had their head cut off. And it was one of the most bloody revolutions in history of the period. Both Jefferson and Patrick Henry were excited about the French Revolution until they went over there and actually saw what they were doing. It had nothing in comparison to the American
Revolution. And one of them almost got killed. Some of our founding fathers got locked up.
Actually, Patrick Henry basically was scheduled to have his head lopped off if it wasn't for the intervention of Washington and the request to have him sent home, and Jefferson himself intervened. Otherwise, he would have been beheaded for all the outrageous, not really outrageous to us, but all that he was saying against the French Revolution.
And they were going to have a new calendar. They were going to end the family. The good news is it stalled out and failed.
It stalled out and failed, although we still have the socialist government that Rousseau is based upon installed in France. It just hasn't evolved.
That's right. Karl Marx and others, they were plagiarizing what the Luciferians. And by the way, that's mainline history, that the Illuminati out of Germany came over to France. That's what the famous magic flute symphonies all about. And then, of course, they killed that composer when he did it. That was his last piece. I mean, this is, for those that haven't read mainline history, I mean, these were human sacrificing, devil worshiping mass murderers.
They really were. And of course, that's been obliterated. If you look at the history books today that you might get in high school or college, of course, that will not be in there. But if you look at some of the older history books, the ones that you can still get and buy, you will find a more accurate, just like Nazi Germany. If you look at Nazi Germany history in the current textbooks and so forth, you won't find anything about the religious beliefs of Hitler, the theosophical beliefs of Hitler, and what led him to believe that the Jews were a bad race and had to be eliminated. All of that stuff is now sanitized out of our history books. But if you go back to the more 100 years ago or even 50 years ago history books, what you will find is really what the truth is in that particular period of time. These people are evil. They're evil down to the very core. I think your description of them as being Luciferian is right on target.
Well, and then you look at eugenics in England in the 1850s. That then got set up in the U.S., and Hitler got his ideas from that, and it's the very same crowd.
It's the very same crowd. And it's based, it's still in the United Nations, it's still boiling just below the surface. You don't see it named as that anymore, but it's still there. The depopulation of the world, the whole effort is eugenics.
Dread not, be dread now. Not this dreadlock in a Babylon.
Not this
dreadlock. A dreadlock congo bongo.
Not this dreadlock.
Hey, filler and get your culture.
Not this dreadlock.
And don't stay there and just start. Or the battle will be hotter. And you won't get no supper. Natty dread, natty dread now.
Natty
dread, a dreadlock congo bongo high.
Natty
dread lock in a Babylon. Then I walk up the first street.
And we're back, CKLM listeners.
And then I walk up the second street to see. Did I tread on?
And yeah.
Street.
This is all about eugenics. And so as a response to that, I was flying yesterday for like 8 hours. Broke in a new pair of shoes. Bad idea, I think. Feet were hurting a bit, so I stopped. I would have kept going, but I stopped. And I'm wearing them again today, which is kind of stupid, but I do want to break these damn things in. And you can see the eugenics experiment all around us, and how they're doing it. Now they can't come out and say they want to kill us. They can just say we're being killed. And it's just a fact of life. And that's one of the things they do, is they make us feel happy. They, the New World Order, the central banking mafia behind this whole thing, in control of most of the corporations because they control the issuance of currency and credit around the world. And they also have some crazy satanic beliefs, which, you know, they subscribe to. They make their followers and minions subscribe to. And they're trying to build a New World Order, which is basically the old world order. You know, it's the same people, you know, but they're trying to build a permanent scientific dictatorship, lobotomize all of us, tell us all to shut up and dance. As you can see, the shut up and dance stuff out there everywhere. And Bob said, you know, the belly full, but they hungry, back in 1974 on the Natty Dread album, which we're hearing now, and this is the title track. You know, he was talking about how, you know, the people, you know, we're given lots of stuff, but we're still hungry. We're not satisfied. And that's how they keep us. That's how they keep the system going. They say, you know, here's what you should play with. And then we play with it and we're like, ah, you know, we're a little bored. And plus, we don't understand. For example, I'll show you. I'm reading. And the number here, by the way, because I do want you folks to call in if you'd like, is 416-595-1655. Again, 416-595-1655. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening for Wednesday, August 18th, 2010. And yet in the belly full, when Bob talked about we're going to dance to the music, you know, it was like, yeah, we're going to dance to the music. We're going to vibe anyway, even though they're messing with us. And then we're going to jack to the music. Hard to tell, but jack, I know what a jack is. We're going to jack them to the music. But the bottom line is that a lot of people use Bob to tune out, you know, and you can do that. You know, you can smoke some weed or whatever and just tune out and zone out, and just vibe along with the vibe because it's a good vibe. But if you use them to tune in, then, you know, you can actually handle it more. And I bring up Bob because he was the best. I'm not apologizing for that. Nobody else should. What the hell am I going to deny my listeners, or myself for that matter, anybody, an opportunity to understand that? Because he worked really hard. He had to speak to an audience of, you know, millions of illiterate people. No fault of their own. They were illiterate. They were just denied education. Again, people's minds work very, very quickly in this liberal system, as Michael Kaufman talked about, where words will set us off. And it'll be like, ah, I know what that word means. It means you're a bad person. Gotcha. And this is the neo-communist system that they set up, which was bad enough before. But now that we're just literally scared to say things and scared to hear things said and yada, 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 and it's insane. So let's get back to an example of what they do here, because fundamentally, This is all about our happiness. You know, people think that taking on, you know, serious issues makes you unhappy. And I'll tell you, just learning about them does. You know, learning about them will make you unhappy, weak, powerless. You can either do it on Infowars.com, or you can do it on the Toronto Star, where it says, hydro bills need fix, feds say. System for homeowner smart meters, which is inaccurately charging at least 150,000 Ontarians for hydropower. The Star has learned. So, we learn we're being charged inaccurately for hydropower. Teachers Union rejects wireless ban in schools. And there you go. Teachers Union is saying, nah, screw it. We know we heard they're bad for the kids, but you know. Joe Fiorito article in Sunday Star. Progress on housing needed now, not later. One of about one every 2 weeks, you know, in the Star. And because they'll get us talking about problems to feel good, you know. And then that doesn't feel good because that's stupid. That's like, if you're overweight and you want to lose weight, for that matter, if you don't, whatever. But if you're overweight and you want to lose weight, or if you have a problem and you want it solved, then just talking about how fat you are isn't going to help you lose weight. You know, you're just going to be, yeah, I'm so fat. Yeah, I'm so fat. Or talking about the new world, oh, they're killing us this way. Oh, they're killing us that way. Oh, they passed this legislation. Oh, they're doing this. Oh, it's so big and evil. I mean, that's not going to cut it. And then the idea that, you know, it's not safe to do this. Someone said this to me yesterday. I said, look, I've done this for like 5 years and I've gotten more hardcore about it. And I do this better than you. I do this better than you could, at least to start. You know, who knows? Hopefully you take it somewhere better than I can, because then, you know, we can get something done about this. It's not about me. All I ever try and do is encourage people to maximize their potential when it comes to their survival and the survival of those, you know, they care about, which, you know, if you're smart about it, could extend to a hell of a lot of people because you feel better. But you know, the at least in principle, you know, you don't have to poke them on Facebook. But you could be like, you know what, with what we have to lose, what we have, and what we have to gain, you know, it's worth dipping your toes in the water. Plus, it's a lot safer if a lot of people know, you know, who you are and where you stand. It's a lot tougher to mess with you. You know, they can do it in subtle ways, but it's tougher to just overtly mess with you. Because then a lot of people will wake up and go, that's why they messed with him. And especially if you're not just issue specific. If you're a whistleblower on some case like, you know, David Kelly in the UK about that scientist, he got killed because he was going to expose some WMD stuff or something. You know, and other guys like that, and you work in a lab and you discover, oh my God, you know, then you're in trouble. But if you talk about a wide variety of issues and you approach it not just from, the Rothschilds this, but the that child's that, you know, then people will say, hey, you're probably coming from the right place, probably good info. You know, enough people have co-signed it. So, I'm closer to waking up and taking action, you know, as it were. But how do they co-opt our happiness? Well, let's take a look at the entertainment section of the Sunday Star. And this is from Sunday, August 15th, 2010 here. Fresh legs, fresh moves. Can So You Think You Can Dance Canada's third season top the first two? Choreographers Stacey Tukey and Luther Brown think so. And this is by Deborah Yeo from the Toronto Star. And here she is, featured in three pictures. To the left, learning hip-hop. In the middle, learning some sort of choreography. And then to the right, learning some Bollywood choreography. And it says fresh legs and fresh moves. And I met some kids yesterday wearing and selling 1,000 Year shirts. And I asked one of the kids, because there's like 10 kids there, you know, wearing these pink and light blue and yellow 1,000 Year shirts. And and I said to one of the kids, hey, what does that mean? And the kid looked at me like strange, like, hold on a sec. The creative director's over there. And I was like, oh my God. It's just one thing written on your shirt. It says 1,000 Years. You don't know what it means when you wear it. So people who get tattoos don't know what they mean. It's like, you crazy, you know? Well, anyway, so I talked to the creative director, or the guy, and he says, yeah, man, this just means like being young forever. You know, like living for 1,000 years, staying fresh for 1,000 years. I told him, man, that is so dope. I can only manage like a week or so, but, you know. And he's like, oh, respect. And then they tried to sell me a shirt, And I was like, I don't know, man. Not really my kind of thing, the pastels and all that. And he's like, oh, man, I think you'd look really good in that. And it's like some 16-year-old kid. And I was like, you know, the fact you would is my issue with the shirt. And so I was joking with him. I'm not. But this is part of a bigger, larger, you know, keep it happy, keep it young forever thing. And so they got this middle-aged woman. She says here in the article, so I thought I would dance beside the one on the phenomena, the one about her personal experience with the phenomena. I'm in my 40s. I have no dance training. Just a tiny bit of ballet as a child and a few months of jazz as a 20-something. And I was surrounded by 20 or so impossibly live young dancers, some in kind of midriff-bearing tops I gave up wearing at least a decade ago. So there you go. You know, and she's in her 40s, and this is her modern ambition, is to, you know, try and act like a 20-year-old. And you just, nobody can do that as well. And you just, there are other ways to fulfill yourself. And I'm going to get into how this is not fulfilling us in a sec, because it's in the same damn section of the Toronto Star here. But it says here, following McGrath's lead, many began to engage in some dirty dancing. So, you know, it's kind of, talking naughty about this stuff is kind of accepted now. And again, I saw some of this "see, you think you can dance" stuff, or "you want to be a dancer" whatever stuff, at my cousin's house with his two little girls there, his wife. And I was like, man, this is like, this is softcore porn, dude. This is crazy. Like, you can't let the kids watch this. This is nuts. And so the articles continue. And then on the second page here, the pleasures and crimes of adulthood. Dangerous liaisons, 4 out of 4 stars, Richard Uzunian review. And again, this is the movie from Glenn Close and John Malkovich from back in the 80s. Now, if you're older, you're supposed to go see this and all the sexual intrigue and all that sort of thing. Interestingly, Bruce Springsteen being interviewed by Edward Norton at the Toronto International Film Festival. And Edward Norton helped Bruce campaign for Barack Obama. So now that you see what Obama's done, which is everything that Bush has done and worse, you know, and it just logically is, just because the plan kept going. Like, Afghanistan's getting worse, Iraq's getting worse. Now they're starting stuff off with Pakistan and Iran. And there's a clip on World War III I might play in just a second. But you can see how, you know, how controlled Hollywood is. Because it's not like they apologized for supporting Barack. It's not like hip-hop apologized. It's not like any of these groups have come out and saying, whoa, 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 this is about principle. And this is about getting stuff done for people. And we hoped that the election of Barack Obama would have done that. But, you know, now we're going back to being happy. So this is the neo-communist system. You know, this is like people coming out to Red Square for parades, you know, in Moscow, you know, where the whole military would, you know, come out and there'd be all these giant tanks and missiles and planes, and just everyone would stand there and kind of worship that. And I'm even seeing at the lingerie store, Lesenza or whatever, they now got the girl there in a little military bra, a little military hat, giving a little salute, little sex and violence, you know, squishy. And then it goes into the relationships here, and this is off the rack, where royalty is the only thing that counts. Again, they're coming back. Just look at the shirts the kids are wearing. Look at the Rockaware. You know, look at the "It's Good to Be King." Look at the King James. You know, like the King James Bible. You know, which again was a political, you know, influence on the Bible. You know, the life of Jesus is more important than the Bible. For all the people out there going, the Bible tells me I can chill out and wait till I die, and God's got me. It's like, what did Jesus do? You know, he didn't just hang around saying, yo, Dad is dope. He's the man. Once this place goes to hell, I'm straight. And that's all mind control as well. That's how they take people out of the game. And that's how they take all of us out of the game. They make us happy doing things that ultimately don't fulfill us. And I'm going to get into the lack of fulfillment in a second by giving you what we're watching. But back to the Royals for a second. From the Star, and this is where the Toronto Star takes tabloids, and it's called Off the Rack. It's the entertainment section on Sundays, and they tell us, you know, like key tabloid stories. It says here, I can't bear to read this terrible story. The wedding of the century, nay, the millennium. It's 10 years into 2010. Has been cancelled because Prince William has made Kate wait too long, and now she's been seen talking to another man. How am I supposed to believe in true love if the royals can't make it work? Try to explain that to me. So there you go. There you go. Now, how are you supposed to believe in love if the Royals can't make it work? Especially if the Star says that's a good way to look at it. You know, and so then you walk around like, you know, you're probably going to be miserable. and you get this from a million angles. You know, I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, and then all the celebrities breaking up and cheating on their wives and all that sort of thing. And if you follow this narrative, here's what ends up happening. I'm going to show you what we watched, you know, in the week of August 2nd to August 8th. This is from BBM Canada, ratings agency for Toronto and Hamilton. And this is our television ratings here. Number one, America's Got Talent. You know, and you can see at the corner of Yonge and Front Street there, where the Hummingbird Center used to be, there's a big billboard, and they're inviting people to phone in with their own send in pictures or videos of their own silly talent show. Adults, grown-ups, you know, the same adults wearing, you know, possibly Justin Bieber's new Be a Star clothing line, you know, at Eaton's, you know, because they have adult clothes like that. You know, you dress like a giant, you know, where's Elmo? You know, you can dress like Elmo and you can be a grown up and you can be taught to dress like Justin Bieber and you can wear the same stuff as your kids and be less cool doing it and then feel, you know, feel miserable. Now, Bob's saying No Woman, No Cry. This is from 74. Later on, he went into the anthemic version of it. It's hard to sing like that. It's hard to sing like No Woman. It's hard to be real. I mean, you can be real about small things, like this little thing's bugging me or whatever. Drake's whole album's full of that. And it's good. But, you know, it's hard to be, like, you know, really real and then really express the emotion because it's not, you're trying to communicate with others. You know, you can think those thoughts, maybe even write them down, maybe put them out some way, but it's really hard to break that down musically because it's so rare in our culture. And so even Bob here in 74, you know, he's basically talking about, I got to go fight, you know, my feet are my only carriage, but don't worry, everything's going to be fine. I'll be back soon. You know, I got to go fight, I got to go get food, I got to go get something, you know, for us. So back to television from the Star, T.O.'s top tens. Number one, America's Got Talent. And you know, like the billboard near, you know, Yonge and in Front, where the Hummingbird Center used to be, you know, they want us all acting silly. They want us all playing rock band. They want us all, you know, wrestling with each other like 8-year-olds, like UFC style. And again, if there wasn't a New World Order that was doing this to make us, you know, young, dumb, and, you know, full of stupid, then, you know, to rob and murder us, so they can raise hydro prices, so they can say they're mischarging us, so they can say, you know, our government's unaccountable and whatever. And so we can say, oh, it's good that we have, you know, people working on this poorly. But everything's going to be all right if we figure this out. So, number one, America's Got Talent. Number two, The Bachelorette. Number three, Hell's Kitchen. Number four, 2.5 Men. Number five, The Bachelorette. Number six, Flashpoint. Number seven, Big Bang Theory. Number eight, Rookie Blue. Number nine, America's Got Talent. And number 10, Big Brother. So this is what we're watching. You know, and these are, you know, 500,000 down to 350,000 viewers in the Toronto and Hamilton area. And I got to tell you something out there. Have you ever met anybody? I'm sure some of you have. Have you ever met anybody who said they've given up television? Have you ever heard them be upset about that decision? You know, or turn back like, you know, like a crack addict, you know, and just go, oh, no, I need it. Like somebody who tries to quit smoking, you know. Not someone who says they want to stop television. But those people you met, like myself, I'll just say, who say, yeah, I gave up television a few years ago. Yeah, don't need it. You know, I see it once in a while, but whatever, you know. And if you ever meet those people, you realize that they're generally happier for the decision and stick with it. Now, I'm not saying I'd never watch television. You can certainly get videos on the internets, but it's one of those things where, you know, it's something to consider, at least cutting back on, if you can see the dividends in your personal productivity when it comes to defending your freedom. You know, there's got to be a reason why people can learn all these bad things are happening and then not take action. You know, what are the cultural handcuffs? You know, what is stopping us from doing that? You know, back to the off the rack here, a second cover story on the William and Kate wedding, a tell-all story. Prince William is taking meetings with Britney Spears' favorite hair weaver. There are secret messages from Diana flowing through the ether, or wherever secret messages from dead people flow from, directly to the happy couple. I've already ordered 824 commemorative coffee mugs. So there you have it. I mean, these are the things that they take seriously. And even the star video with 40-plus reporter Deborah Yeo taking dance classes with a bunch of 20-somethings. The star story has video at thestar.com. You can go check it out, and you can see thestar.com. You know, and Ben Rayner's got reasons to live here. And he's a very good columnist, music columnist. But one is Lollapalooza 2010 in Chicago. Two is Queens of Stone Age, rated R, deluxe edition. And then three is Scott Pilgrim versus the World, a nerd comic book turned movie. So again, these are the things that they get us to take seriously, and it warps our ability to take serious things seriously. You know, let's take a look at the Hydro example for a second. Let's see. Need fix. They need a fix. If they want to fix something, they want to launch a war, they can do it in a month. You know, but if they want to fix the homeless problem, it'll take them 25 years. And they won't. So here it is. Hydro bills need fix. And this is by Tanya Talaga, Robert Benzie, and Rob Ferguson, Queens Park Bureau, Wednesday, August 18th. The system for reading homeowners' smart meters, which measures time of use electricity consumption, is inaccurately charging at least 150,000 Ontarians for hydropower, the Star has learned. Internal documents show the meter reading computer system and the meters themselves do not meet federal measurement standards and must be repaired before January 1st, 2012. Quote, the environment is ripe for a class action lawsuit, one worried industry source said Tuesday. Quote, this is another cloud in the perfect storm that's brewing in the electricity sector, and in all this nickel and diming, the consumer is taking the brunt, unquote. And that's how we're given this. And then something stops us from reacting to it. I said back in 07 in a song called If We Can't Do It, It Can't Be Done. I used the B word and the N word, but I said every chick a model, every wigger a soldier, see it written down in a Pentagon folder, because that's ultimately where this is from. You know, this is from how do we manage people, how do we control people, and as you heard, you know, Alex Jones and Michael Kaufman discuss from the Alex Jones Show. Alex Jones and Michael Kaufman talking about the French Revolution and talking about the bloody Fabian socialist plans. The Fabian socialists, socialism, this type of neo-communism, works in stages. And these, we are seeing the stages around us. And I'm even seeing the 12-foot tall, you know, three, four pictures for the new Victoria's Secret, you know, models coming out at the Eaton Center. And these 12-foot tall, beautiful blonde women, you know, worth staring at. Other beautiful women there too, but, you know, worth staring at for a second. But you can see that her hip bones are showing, and she's a little skinny. And Victoria's Secret models used to be more voluptuous than the norm. And so you can see them changing those over time, and so on. But, you know, I'm going to give it up to Webster Tarpley talking about World War III with Iran for a sec, because that's important. And there's not a lot we can do about that, but there's a lot we can do about a lot of other things that can help stop things like this from happening. So, yeah, let's figure something out. This is Webster Griffin Tarpley on Guns and Butter.
This document dump by WikiLeaks and by this the leader of it, Julian Assange, is an intelligence operation of the U.S. intelligence community, and we can be very sure that the documents in that document dump are, first of all, very low-level intelligence. They hardly rise to the level of secret. If they're classified as secret, they're over-classified. They're really just official use only, confidential, and if they're lucky, secret. But more importantly, that this low-level intelligence has been carefully edited and cherry-picked to do the tasks that are now urgent for the U.S. intelligence community as the U.S. prepares to lift and shift the current war deployments into a much wider and more dangerous war. Now, the demonization of Pakistan, of course, has been the keystone to this entire policy, especially since Obama's West Point speech of December 2009, which was, in my reading of it, as well as the correspondent of one of the Pakistani television networks here that I've been in contact with, it's a declaration of war against Pakistan, because it basically says the goal of the U.S. policy is to export the Afghan civil war into Pakistan and break up Pakistan, to foment the rebellion of the Pashtun people and the Balochistan population against the central government there in Islamabad, the Punjabis and the Sindh population on the other side, and get a civil war that leads to the breakup of Pakistan four ways, perhaps, or perhaps even more. The reason for that, in very brief terms, is because if you're going to have an oil pipeline from Iran and the rest of the Middle East into China, it just about has to go through Pakistan. And you could also have an oil pipeline from the Middle East into India. These are absolutely critical strategic things that the U.S., the British, and others don't want. So their goal is to destroy Pakistan. But there was always, in the middle of Obama's war policy, this Rube Goldberg aspect. In other words, it made no sense, even on the surface. If your goal is this so-called Al-Qaeda, which I think doesn't really exist in the way that most people think it does, if you want to attack Al-Qaeda, then go where you say they are. And, of course, the U.S. line is that Al-Qaeda is actually located in Pakistan, be it in Pashtunistan or Waziristan, the federally administered tribal areas of Pakistan, or in Balochistan, in this place called Quetta. And we're told about the Quetta Shura that appears in the papers where bin Laden supposedly goes. According to these papers, there is such a person as Osama bin Laden. He's alive, which I think is, this is quite fantastic, mythological. And he's not just a traveling theatrical company or hologram speaking from Langley, Virginia, but he's a real person, and he goes to the Quetta Shura. So you can see that the U.S. goal had been then to foment those rebellions. Now, what I think we've got now is the situation is complicated because the whole institutional bureaucracy here in Washington is moving towards an attack on Iran, and it's moving towards an attack on Iran very, very rapidly. Let me just cite one or two predicates, if I may, just to establish why we're going towards this attack on Iran. And there were many reasons that we can go through. We're taping here on August 7th, and I would point people to a very interesting fact. Fidel Castro in Havana, the secretary of the Cuban Communist Party, has convoked a special session of the Cuban parliament today, and he gave them an address in which he says the purpose of this is to discuss an imminent nuclear war between the United States on the one side, with Israel joining in, and on the other side, Iran and North Korea, he says. Obama will give the order of the announced and expected attack. And Castro says, I want him to know that he will be ordering the instant death not only of hundreds of millions of people, including a countless number of people from his own country, but also of the U.S. troops and fleet around Iran. Now, we had Ahmadinejad last week, the leader of Iran, saying that the U.S. is planning to attack two Middle Eastern countries over the next 3 months. We've had the first serious shooting incident along the Israeli-Lebanese border, and of course Hezbollah in those Lebanese territories is a close ally of Iran, so we had a first shooting incident there since the war 4 years ago between Lebanon and Israel. And we've also had a kind of a dress rehearsal for a false flag event in the Straits of Hormuz, which is what the United Arab Emirates and I guess the U.S. now say was a small boat loaded with explosives that did not even blow a hole in the side of a Japanese supertanker, but severely dented it and forced it to put into port. So we've got all kinds of threats going back and forth. Last Sunday on one of the television interview shows, Admiral Mullen, the U.S. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said the United States has an active war plan to attack Iran. It turns out that that war plan would have been developed by the Central Command during the time that General Petraeus was the commander there. Petraeus now having been elevated to almost Caesaresque or Napoleonic status by Obama by giving him the Afghan front in the middle of all this. But I think we've got a very highly developed, extremely ominous pattern of intelligence that points to this attack on Iran. One more is that the new British Prime Minister David Cameron had a Freudian slip when he said in one of his speeches, "We're doing what we're doing in the Middle East because Iran has a nuclear weapon already." Now, I think that guy's got a mind like a rag bag, and he repeats what he's talking about inside number 10 Downing Street. So maybe we'll get another Downing Street memorandum on this, but I think that the general pattern is clear. There had been a period of about 2 to 2.5 years during which the danger of an attack on Iran, I think, was very low, partly because Zbigniew Brzezinski, George Soros, and their group were promising that with a green revolution in Iran, with a kind of a color revolution or CIA people power coup, they could provide a government in Tehran which would be anti-Russian and anti-Chinese. And indeed, that Mousavi faction in the streets was always chanting, "Death to Russia, death to China."
And we're back, CKLN listeners. So that was a bit of history from Webster Griffin Tarpley of where we've come with respect to the war with Iran. That's from the August 11th Guns and Butter Show with Bonnie Faulkner. Definitely check out gunsandbutter.net. She does some amazing interviews, and she just lets... I interviewed Webster Tarpley once, and I interviewed his publisher to get to him from Progressive Press, publisher of 9/11 Synthetic Terror, a couple of books on Obama, a book on Bush Sr. Tarpley, he gives no quarter when it comes to taking on the oligarchs and their New World Orderlies. His publisher, John from Progressive Press, said, "You're going to have fun with Webster." And it's true. I couldn't control him. I had absolutely no certain interviews. I got to talk a bit more. Certain interviews, that people are they got more to say. But with Webster Tarpley, I let him go. And when he feels he's got the reins, he will just he's like me in a way where I will break down 74 things for you. So hopefully that helped. The latest on the war with Iran, by the way, desperately seeking accommodation. Iran offers U.S. chance to build nuclear power plants. So, actually, their foreign ministry spokesman said, "Look, if you want to make sure we're building these for energy, and we're not using nuclear technology to build a bomb, then you build them in Iran." And this is after the U.S. has been repeatedly staging attacks there and bombing the border regions and blowing things up, and the Iranians have just been sitting there and taking it because they don't want to because they know as soon as they strike back, it'll be all over our media, like Iran hits U.S., a world outrage. And so, and frankly, if I was them, in the same way that a gun is for self-defense, if other people have them, I'd love to have a nuke. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But either way, they're, as Chris Rock, said, years ago, if I'm in a fight with a man that's bigger than me, I know there's a zone I don't go into. And he talked about that. And it's true. If I'm in a fight with a guy who's bigger than me, or a police officer or something, I know there's a zone I don't go into because I know that person could, hurt me. I'm still going to try and fight if I got to fight. I'm going to argue if I got to argue. I was cut off. This guy, he was just looking the other way while he was driving, and he almost banged into me, so I smacked the hood of his car yesterday. Just crank. Because he was literally like a few inches from my leg, and he wasn't stopping. And I just went, he looked at me like, "What?" And I was like, "Dude, see me." And he's like, all right, sorry. It's like he was making a right turn, and I was crossing, at a place where humans normally cross at an intersection. And so, there are times when it's pure self-defense like that. Like either you lose your leg to a car, or you hop up on his hood, or you whack his car. And if he starts something, you whack him. But in a fight like this that's long and drawn out, there's no way in hell Iran wants to go. You know, there's no way that they, so regardless of what the media tells you, keep in mind, they don't want to go. They don't want to fight. North Korea turns to Twitter in apparent propaganda war. And it's war against South Korea and the United States by turning to Twitter and YouTube. This is the type of crap they want us to take seriously. And then they depress us by saying too many lights will slow new streetcar line, TTC warns. And again, just more and more nonsense. Teachers union. She says here, how many of us in this room know where our cell phones are? Says Sherry Birch. I know mine is strapped to my waist. Wi-Fi is pervasive in our society, she told the annual meeting of Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario. You cannot police this kind of policy. So they're literally just completely ignoring the health risks, you know, involved with the Wi-Fi that have been exposed. It's not like we're going to look into this. It's whatever. And then further in the article here, it says microwaves used to be scary and we got over that. And if the World Health Organization says there's no threat from exposure to wireless levels here in Canada, I think we should not limit it for students, says grade three teacher Kevin Couch. Oh, my God. Okay, well, first of all, microwaves. The Russians banned them. The Russians wouldn't let their people use them. So if you have a microwave out there, just Google Russian microwaves. You check the quality of the article. Don't just go, that's too crazy. Like, just, you know, we can't spit up information or solutions like it's baby food we don't like. Like, if people do that, people go, no, I don't want to listen. Nah. Or no, we don't have to do anything. I just want to learn about this and be all smart. I mean, because they're going to kill you. Something's going to kill you. If we don't get the toxins out, if I don't get the glucose, fructose out of the damn Arizona iced tea I'm drinking, you know, a year from now, I'm going to be, twice as crazy and make half as much sense. So, you know, this is the thing. You know, and you can forget your troubles and dance, you know, like the media's telling you, like Bob's telling you right now. But to do what? To get energy for what? I mean, if the troubles are getting worse, we're supposed to feel free in this culture. And the fear of information and the fear of talking about things is what keeps us from being free, is what keeps us from being happy. And the lack of value of what we pass on. Now, I'm not saying people aren't happy, because, again, we're trained to be happy despite this crap, you know? And so microwaves, the Russians banned them. And then he says if the World Health Organization says there's no threat from exposure to wireless. Remember, the World Health Organization launched the H1N1 pandemic, which turned out to be a giant hoax. You know, nobody knew anybody with H1N1. You know, there's barely any things, and the few cases were turned to be possibly something else they died from, because it was like, oh yeah, they had H1N1, but they had cancer too, or leukemia, and they were going into serious whatever. But it was the H1N1 that did it, sure. You know, and then while Niagara teacher Tay Shiner supported the ban, there are good teachers inside, there are good police inside, there are good everybody inside. That's why we all got to start popping off, so that these people have a chance to, you know, have some sort of influence. The more we talk about things, the more they can, including the mass media. So Tay Shiner supported the ban on wireless. She insisted, we're not against computers in class. We just think they should be plugged in, not wireless, to avoid exposure to radio waves that research shows can cause neurological disorders. And there you have it. This is the beginning of a discussion on the impact of technology, not the end. And again, this is also from the Star article about the wireless union ban. Tons of more stuff, but Monsignor Michael Clifton is here to spell Mr. Ron Gaskin this morning. So I'm going to give it over to Mr. Clifton for some jazz. Hopefully you folks enjoy that, as I'm sure you will. Just keep in mind that there's a few places you can go to check things out. Infowars.com is great. CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com is great. ConspiracyCulture.com is great. NaturalNews.com is indispensable out there. School year's starting. Let's get the kids in good shape to, reject some of what they learn and maybe ask you about some of it, and maybe your further investigations can help them with it. PressForTruth.ca, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, and the Toronto Street News homeless paper out there, for you to enjoy. You can also go to WhatYouWantToBelieveIn.com. That's my website, ramping up a few things. But I hate self-promotion. You know, I want everyone to just protect their block. Like, if you have people around you that you care about, or people around you that you know, have a shared environment, like, you want to make sure these people get hit before crime rates go up so your property values don't go down in this sagging economy, then get your block hip to this stuff and start protecting people out there, men, women, children. You know, we all have a different, order. If Ish goes down, me and my shot kickers can take it, and a little girl in some flip-flops maybe can't take it as well. So, hey, I'm there, and she's there, and we got to figure out who's who in this world. What are we? What are we worth? What are we worth to each other? And this is all based on what we do, the fruit of your labor, as the old saying goes. And it ain't even labor. It ain't even labor. It's a lot better feeling free than it is feeling like we're screwed and feeling like we can't talk about it and that what we have to say about it has no value to anybody. So I got to stress this point here on Rude Awakening, because we are getting to those times. And I want you to make sure that, you don't want to come across as preachy. You don't want to come across as this and that. Why do they make us say these things? Why do they make us say these things? Why do they emasculate our music, emasculate our culture of serious or political conversation where we can feel good about it, where we can feel good getting angry about these bastards or laughing at the BS they're trying to pull? You know, not this half step and kind of talk about it a bit and then make sure you run away from it, but actually, throwing down and scrapping with what you have, with respect to this. So I encourage you to lively up yourselves by feeling free and feeling free to talk a little mess about the powers that be evil. Peace out.